B&E.
You throw this thing into a chain. There's nothing skillful
you
or...
hit a ball into a hole.
Come on, dude.
It's a highly skilled activity.
My dexterity compared to a...
What?
A frisbee golfer...
What did you say about your dexterity?
I said my dexterity. I didn't say anything about my dexterity. I said my dexterity. I mean, a frisbee golfer can have a bong, a dog on a rope, a six-pack in his hand, and go play that. And somebody tells me, now all of a sudden, it's about my energy level. Oh, you can sit on your ass for 4 hours. I work a real job. Guys don't work a real job. You get up at noon.
Smoke weed every day.
What is that?
Yeah.
Tuesday on the horn. Here come the tax. Hey, you guys are supporting marijuana use.
You guys supporting that marijuana use again?
Sorry. Show the people. Come one, come all. It's here for you every morning, 6 to 10. And that's what it's about. 6 June, D-Day. 73 years ago today.
You guys supporting that gin and juice again?
Sipping on it.
Sipping on it.
91 and humid today. It's a muggy morning in Austin, Texas. But looks like after yesterday's monsoons that the rain's going to move on. Should be.
Glad I wasn't in a car when that mess was going on.
I know. It was scary. I mean, I was listening to Chad and Kevin and then hearing Don Miller do the traffics, and 35's lower deck was taking on water. And I mean, it was coming down, my friends. And if you were out in that, and it was right at drive time, so
it was.
Enjoyed that. This won't be the case this morning and really the rest of the week. The forecast moving forward is heat. Warm.
I know it, man. It's the warmth and the humidity has brought my tomatoes to a very nice red. And I mean the big tomatoes. I mean the better boys or whatever they're called, the big ones, they're out now.
Big
beautiful,
maters.
Beautiful maters. Oh, right from the garden, tasting good. No preservatives, none of that stuff in there. No chemicals. Yes, I have to go weed the garden by hand. I don't spray any pesticides in my garden.
This guy on the Specs text line says,
I'm a rancher.
Celtics with Bird, Parrish, and Ainge, best team ever. Go back and watch, you'll see. Well, again, in their era, they and the Lakers. But, I mean, I think Golden State.
Too fast for them. Golden State's too fast.
Too fast and shoot. They're too skilled.
Yeah.
But, again, it's like you can't. It's like comparing NFL teams today to NFL teams in the 80s. I mean, this is
Bird
a different
would shoot
style
the,
of football.
Bird would shoot the three, but the rest of them couldn't handle the three like these guys do on
because
this team.
Because you say Bird, Ainge, and Parrish, and I'll say, well, that's Durant, Curry, and Draymond. I mean, these are all three guys going to Hall of Fame. And in their era, they're great players.
Right.
For what they do. And it's, yes, the Celtics would be, they're unbelievably skilled with the passing and the big, who would they cut? We would McHale.
There's never been a shooter like Steph Curry. Forget about it.
No, there hasn't. And
no.
Mark, it was Jeff Van Gundy who dropped the bomb the other night saying that he thinks Curry and Durant are the best duo ever. Will go down as the best.
No, there are a lot
of
duos.
Time.
I don't think so. Not quite yet.
Well, that's what he thinks.
They haven't won a championship together yet.
They have not.
There's a lot of duos out there.
Living in the now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, this broadcast is just a Warriors slob fest. Are you kidding me? With Mark Jackson, who the former coach of the Warriors will do anything so Dubs fans give him some sort of credit for their team's success, and Van Gundy just slobbing all over these dudes. It's like a home
broadcast.
I like Van
Gundy, though. Well, I still like Van Gundy. I think he's... When he's not jacking around and not having fun, which I like when he does that too, but when he gets serious about the game of basketball, I think he knows his stuff.
They're good when it's not a Warriors game. It's just
really?
There's just too much Warriors. And they've been the better team these first two games. I'm not just judging off of that. But just in general, these dudes are
there's a lot to talk about with
them.
The Warriors, right?
Yeah, well, they're good.
Yeah. Well, you remember go back to when the Spurs had him down 23 points, and it was like a stunned, shocked. Everybody in the basketball world was shocked at that. It's a halftime score. Either way, we'll pick up that conversation on the other side. We'll dive into our coach's corner. But right now, let's get you the news, including a disappointing end to the Longhorn baseball season. Headlines from the Ticket City Update Desk brought to you by UBO Business Services. And yes, it was a disappointing end for a turnaround year for the Texas Longhorns on the baseball diamond. Their season came to an end last night, or actually early this morning, with a 2-1 loss at regional host Long Beach State, their second consecutive one-run loss to the Dirtbags, who advanced to the super regional round. Long Beach State scored a run in the first thanks to a wild pitch and two Texas errors. They added a second run in the third on a Texas pickoff attempt, when a little mental mistake there for the Longhorns. Now it's 2-0. Longhorns scored their lone run in the fifth on a wild pitch, but they managed just four hits on the night and finished the season at 39-24 for head coach David Pierce in his first season.
I mean, I'm just really proud of our older kids that are going to be moving on, and we've got a lot of great things in front of us with our future. I'm just really proud of our coaches and everything we did all year. And it was a grind the entire year. Win 39 games, lose 24. It's a tough swallow right now. But, you know, our kids are going to learn from this, and they're going to get better from it. And they're all great kids and really proud of them.
Season comes to an end. Super 16 is set after the 10 regional champions were claimed throughout the day yesterday. Texas A&M advanced out of the Houston Regional. They're going to host Davidson in the Supers this weekend. TCU won the Fort Worth Regional. They'll host Missouri State and are the lone Big 12 team remaining in the field. That's because the Bearcats of Sam Houston State knocked out Texas Tech yesterday afternoon. Bearcats will head to Tallahassee to face Florida State this weekend. Major League Baseball, Houston Astros, that locomotive rolled into Kansas City last night and rolled the Royals. 7-3 the final. Brian McCann had a big two-run homer in the fourth. Yuli Gurriel belted a three-run shot late to provide cushion. The Astros have won 11 consecutive games, and the numbers pretty eye-popping on June 6th. The Astros have won 22 of 27. Their best record in baseball at 42-16. Their plus 106 run differential, far and away the best in the game. Their 14-game divisional lead, the largest in team history. And how about this? They become just the third team in the last three decades to win 42 of their first 58 games. The other two, the 98 Yankees and the 01 Mariners. Texas Rangers took the night off. They opened an interleague set with the Mets tonight in Arlington. Round Rock opened their series at Colorado Springs with a 10-7 win. Same two again tonight in Colorado Springs, 7:40. The first pitch right here on the Horn. Texas football. Now, if you remember back in February, the Longhorns did not land any of the top 10 ranked players in the state of Texas for the first time in recent memory. Appears Tom Herman and Texas won't repeat that failure in 2018. As yesterday, Texas picked up their highest ranked pledge to date. Five-star safety from Angleton, B.J. Foster, became the 12th verbal commitment for the class of 2018, 6'1", 188. Top-ranked safety in this class and number 16 prospect in the nation. Hockey. It's now a best-of-three sprint to the Stanley Cup Championship as Nashville beat Pittsburgh 4-1 last night. They even the series at 2-2. And that's the news.
You know, a lot of guys that come into the NBA, whether it's, you know, 1 year in college or 4 years or whatever in college, they pigeonhole themselves into being what they told that they are. Well, I'm a rebounder. I'm a three-point shooter. But the ones that become great are the guys that continue to work, like Steph Curry, like Kevin Durant. I always look at Iguodala. I mean, he's another guy who has been an all-star before, been a starter, but he never worked on his ball skills. He can't handle the ball. Do you know what I mean? He can't get his own shot. He's not a ball handler, Iguodala. He can't give you two or three different moves with the ball. He'll lose the ball eventually, try to spin move, and the ball will go all over the place. Kevin Durant every year has gotten better with the ball in his hand. That guy can play point guard now. He's one of those Magic Johnson kind of guys. He could bring the ball up without feeling like he's pressured. And the same thing for Steph Curry. Curry wasn't a great ball handler, you know, in college at Davison.
No, he's seen as a guy who was going to be injury prone and frail and
come off the screens and shoot threes.
Yeah, well, he's working himself into becoming one of the best players and best shooter ever, and that comes with work. You were talking about Kawhi Leonard and the Spurs all the time.
And him too, yeah, that's right.
That's one of the reasons, you know, Kevin Durant, people call him Cupcake and say one of the things he cited when he went to the Warriors was he loved the way they developed their players. That much like the Spurs,
yes.
I mean, people just think at all organizations they have this great development system where they continue to work on this. I mean, you know, the Warriors do. They well, Steve Kerr, and they've adopted kind of what Greg Popovich has done in San Antonio. It's a well-rounded, we're developing the player and all skill sets, and that's why you see a Kawhi Leonard continue to improve or a Tony Parker over his career. And you know, Kevin Durant didn't feel like he was getting that to that level in Oklahoma City, and you've seen him this year evolve as a better player. He's a better player after 1 year in Golden State all around than he was in Oklahoma City.
And that's why for Aldridge, that's why that guy has to get better.
Yes, he does.
Has to get, I mean, I know he's big. I know he's all brawny and all that stuff. But he has to be a better one-on-one guy where he doesn't always have to have his back to the basket, where he can up fake and then go around you and slam every once in a while. He's athletic enough to do that, but he looks like he's pigeonholed into it. My back to the basket. I'll turn around and take a little jumper. I'll get some garbage basket. I just think he can be a better player if he makes himself a better player.
Yeah.
Well, and he's in the right place with the Spurs.
Spurs need him too. Real quick before we dive into Coach's Corner on a Tuesday, let's talk to Rodney. He wants to weigh in on this Warriors debate. Morning, Rodney.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, Rod.
Hey, I do, just my personal opinion, I do think that everyone's overreacting with this Warriors team. I mean, let's be honest. They won 73 games last year. If they won the title last year, everyone would have thought that this was the best team ever. They didn't win it last year. I just think that, you know, when you do these comparisons with the Warriors team that hasn't won a title to, like, your Lakers back in the day or the Celtics back in the day, I mean, it's just really, honestly, it's just so subjective. I just think that, you know, let them win the title first before we put them in that discussion.
Well, what would we do for the day then if we didn't have that? If we just sit here and look at each other? and not talk about what ifs. I mean, that's what you do in sports radio. You talk about things like that. Or E and I would be looking at each other all morning.
No, I mean, I think it's a fun debate. I didn't mean this, but he's right to say it's completely subjective, and he said it's my personal.
Of course it is.
They already won a title. What does he mean? Wait till they won a title. They won a title 2 years ago. What do you mean?
And then they won 73 games last year.
And now their mission, I think, is to go 16-0 in the postseason. Now, they haven't done that yet, so you know you can't crown them.
So we wait till it's over with and then talk about it?
You can't crown them until they actually win the title, but they are two wins away.
You should crown their ass. I think you should. Why not?
That sounds like something for Coach's Corner right there. That sounds like Coach's Corner is ready to go.
Oh, my goodness.
Welcome to the Coach's Corner.
All right, do we have that? Here you go, Denny Green.
Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
Yeah, come on.
Thank you, Coach.
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
That's what they're saying about what happened last year when they were up 3-1 over the Cavs.
The late Denny
they
Green.
They let them get away.
All right, let's play that again, because that's exactly what our man Rodney was saying. He's saying
if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
Smack us around a little.
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
That's who the Cavs were last year. They let the Cavs. They had them 3-1. They had the Cavs down 3-1 last year, and they let them off the hook.
Let them off the hook. All right, can you, before we get into this, some of this Texas baseball analysis and Tom Herman's latest commitment, can you hazard a guess on who Barry Levinson has cast to play Joe Paterno in his upcoming film?
George Costanza.
No. No, it's not George Costanza.
It's not George Costanza. He looks like a little Jopa.
No, I can't accept that. That is incorrect.
It's not acceptable.
No.
Come on, think. Italian, kind of shorter.
DiCaprio.
No.
Okay.
No.
Give me one more.
Cosby.
Not Bill Cosby. Who are you two?
There's got to be one person that
think
can
of,
do it.
Think of Joe Paterno, older Joe Paterno.
Older Joe Paterno.
Don't think younger.
Alan Alda. What?
I can't accept that.
No. Can't accept that either?
No. Who else want to guess?
Al Pacino?
Al Pacino.
Al Pacino of Every Given Sunday?
Any
or whatever
given
the
Sunday.
Hell. Any Given Sunday?
Yes, Al Pacino has been cast to play. She does have the nose. He can do the hair pretty easily. He's got the. He's gonna wear high water pants.
He's got the voice too. As a matter of fact,
yeah,
he's got
does.
That raspy,
gravelly voice.
Yeah, he does.
That's an obvious one.
On Cosby, once you said old school Irish
old school.
Or whatever.
So this is going to be an HBO movie that Barry Levinson is directing about Joe Paterno. This says the official.
He's gonna play Sandusky Kramer.
That's you can have at that one. I
no,
mean,
I'm not going to mess with that. Let's leave that alone.
Which Hollywood actor wants that role?
Leave it alone.
No,
I'll leave that
you.
One be. No.
Well, heck, another great actor, Robert De Niro, just did a great job as playing the scumbag, Wizard of Lies that I've seen on HBO. Bernie Madoff. And who wants to play Bernie Madoff? That guy's the ultimate scumbag.
That's true.
$58 billion he stole from people. But, child predator? Yeah, no thanks. But, yes, here's what the log line says. After becoming the winningest coach in college football history, Joe Paterno is embroiled at Penn State's Jerry Sandusky sexual abuse scandal, challenging his legacy and forcing him to face questions of institutional failure on behalf of the victims. So, much like the Wizard of Lies film that Robert De Niro played Bernie Madoff, Al Pacino is going to play Joe Paterno. There you go.
Could be pretty good.
I could be all right. I've recommended you, if you haven't seen it, to see Wizard of Lies. It's really well done, and it takes you behind the scenes. And I thought Robert De Niro did a great job. Michelle Pfeiffer.
Cameron Diaz going to be Mrs. Paterno?
Yeah, I don't. Any
no, given, Cameron Diaz. Well,
Oliver Stone in football movies. That Any Given Sunday was garbage, but.
Yeah, was that Cameron Diaz was in that, right?
Yeah, she was the owner lady.
Oh, personally. Yeah. That was terrible.
It wasn't a good film.
Terrible.
Wasn't a good film. But there you go. Come on. Siri's yelling at me on my phone. I keep hitting the wrong button. Hey, how about Coach's Corner? We mentioned David Pierce. Year one comes to a disappointing end. They had two chances to win one game, only mustered four hits in the game winner or in the closeout game. And the biggest moment of the game was in the fifth inning when the Longhorns had runners at second and third. They had scored their only run of the game on a wild pitch. And then they had runners at first and second and third with Casey Clemens and Brett Boswell up. And the dirtbags went to their left-handed specialist out of the bullpen, and he struck out both of them, and that was it. The Longhorns didn't put a runner on base beyond that. Sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth innings, only four hits on the night.
Dirtbags.
Dirtbags get the win. And when you consider that the Longhorns gave away two runs, I mean, the first run scored is Duran, who's been the pest. He was the speedster at the leadoff spot, hit the two. He had the two big knocks the night before to tie the game and win the game. And then he leads off with a, which was a hard-hit single up the middle, or just off to the left, and Zane Gerwitz misplayed it and ended up, got played into a double, or a single and an error. And then he scored using his speed on a wild pitch, and then McCann threw it down the left field line and into left field, and that was the first run. Second run, this is one that's inexcusable. It was first and third with one out, and they tried a pickoff play, and Casey Clemens is chasing the runner to second and ends up throwing it to David Hamilton. Well, the runner at third just sprinted home. And Casey Clemens kind of threw a little, you know, lollipop throw, didn't get it down, and he threw it too early. It was just a poorly executed play, and the Dirtbags, I mean the guy was probably going to try to get himself into a rundown so that he could try to get the run home, but you can't let that run score in that spot. I mean, it's 1-0 at the time. That run cannot score in that way. Man,
I don't care where they move on the bases. You don't care, right?
We just can't let the run score.
Yeah. Trust your pitcher to get a guy out.
Yeah.
Strike him out.
I mean, in that spot, you'll give up second base to the secondary runner.
Yeah, they just kind of gave in to the run there.
Yeah, but that was it. That's the only runs that the Dirtbags scored. So, and Nick Kennedy, we talked about being the starter. He was in trouble all night, but he pitched himself out of it. Texas pitching was not the issue last night. Their defense was.
And their bats.
And that's where we have the numbers. We mentioned it. If you look at the kind of the aerial view of Texas season, you know, they were in year one for David Pierce. They were certainly a better defensive club than they were last year. They were better in the midweek games, right? I mean, when they went 25-32, which precipitated Augie Garrido being out, they were a bad team. They would lose to Tuesday games all the time. They couldn't field. So they're much improved. The leadership was better. The overall team competitiveness, I thought, was elevated under David Pierce. The energy was better. But here's the numbers that stand out. They were 37-13, Texas, against teams that were not ranked in the top 10 in the country. Okay, 37-13. So against teams they were as good as or better than, they beat at a very high percentage. But against the power teams they played four teams this year that hosted regionals. Long Beach State, of course. Now TCU, Texas Tech, and Stanford. Against those teams, they went 2-11. 2-11. 2-11 against those teams. And eight of those 11 losses were by one run.
Guys, they kind of reverted back to 2016 Texas, honestly, over the last three games. They had six errors. We've been talking all year long about how good the defense has been the last three games against Long Beach State. Six errors as a team.
It's sort of costly.
It doesn't
last
include
night.
the rundown bonehead. I mean, they're making little league mistakes. It doesn't include wild pitches and pass balls. They kind of reverted back to their old ways, and they couldn't pick up any timely hits, which it doesn't take a baseball genius to tell you. When you score one run, you're not going to win a whole lot of games.
Yep, and against the better teams. And I think they seized up a little. I think the pressure was there for sure. And, you know, David Pierce can now go bring in his own players. These were all Augie Garrido, Skip Johnson recruits. And I thought, you know, positive year one for David Pierce, but certainly a disappointing end when they had two chances to win that one game and really were their own worst enemy. And you could argue from the other side of that, you know, without the amazing plays they made on Saturday night, they wouldn't even got to this point.
That's true.
I mean, the relay play for Reynolds.
But they made them.
Patrick Mathis diving
catch.
And some
of the simple plays that crushed them last night.
And they scored five runs. I mean, when this team scores five runs, they almost always win. But and then it took them 12 innings to get the five runs in that game. But Dirtbags can pitch. They'll move on and play Cal State Fullerton. Longhorn season is over. Yeah, so we'll take your thoughts.
Joe Pesci could have played Jopa, too. He's too little. He's too small. Joe Paterno's not tiny, tiny guy.
Pesci's tiny. I mean, I didn't know much about Bernie Madoff, but they did a good job with makeup. He really, if you see the film,
they can do it with Pacino.
He became Bernie Madoff, and they did a good job of that. And
Pacino, like you said, already has the nose. He can.
But Paterno will be a hard play. He's going, because you've heard a lot from him, right? I mean, it's Joe Paterno.
Yes,
that's a hard guy to play. It's like when Jamie Foxx had to play Ray Charles. I mean, someone who is so recognizable and known, and he did an amazing job. I mean,
won an Oscar for that.
What's his name? Who did Johnny Cash? That was Joaquin Phoenix.
Phoenix.
Yeah,
yes.
He did Johnny Cash.
Did a great job.
So
I think Jamie Foxx won an Oscar for,
and should have. He became Ray Charles in that film. I mean, there were times where you're like, that's Ray Charles.
Is he really on drugs? Yeah. That's what I thought a couple times. Is that guy really on drugs?
Is he really blind?
Yeah,
I think he's blind.
They did a great job. You're right.
But so we'll see what Al Pacino. Hoo-ah!
That'd be fun. I got to see that. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I'm going to see that one for sure.
You grew up in the state of Pennsylvania, so Joe Paterno was like a other big, larger-than-life figure as you were growing up.
He was Bear Bryant.
Yeah.
That's who he was.
Yeah,
he was the Bear.
That's big.
I got recruited by Joe Paterno. That's how bad it was. That's how old
I am.
Did
you make a visit?
I mean, yeah, of course. I went to Penn State for a visit and said, uh-uh.
No showers.
I live in the woods. I live in the woods. I don't want to.
Oh, too soon, BK?
Listen.
I thought it was great.
You were an offensive player.
I live in the woods. I don't want to go to school in the woods because that place is in the woods.
Oh, that's the one thing people don't know about Penn State University.
No.
You will not find a more isolated campus for a major university than that one. It's surrounded on three sides by
Trees.
National forest.
Yeah, it's everywhere. No thanks.
I mean, and it's off I-80. The only thing out there is I-80. There's nothing out there.
You used to have to fly into Harrisburg and then drive in as teams.
Through the forest.
Yeah, but I also went in. I actually, when we played at Boston College, we actually flew in to State Park. We flew into that place, Ian, on one of those like planes that the Army goes in where you put cargo in. We flew in a cargo plane once on that thing. That was the worst ride, the bumpiest, nastiest flight.
Pilots would talk about how hard it was, difficult to land at State College because it was
cargo plane.
But you're coming in,
you're up in
the mountains, and you've got to land that thing. Woody Hayes famously used to put his starters and all his coaches on one plane and put the reserves another plane.
That's right. So if it went down, good job, Woody.
Well, that was not long after the Marshall tragedy. So, you know. Yeah.
That one's too soon, man.
Which one?
Marshall.
That's a long time ago. You know how long ago that was? That's 30 something? Is it 30 years ago?
The movie was like 10 years ago.
It happened in the 70s. And Matthew McConaughey
did a great job.
You liked him as a coach?
I loved him as a coach.
Said he hung out with Mac Brown to come up with some coaching.
Seriously, for that role?
Yeah.
He did a great job, as a matter of fact, in that role.
Mac Brown, however his career ended at Texas, he was a historian of football and great coaches. So there you go. There's that. We'll hit the Tom Herman piece coming up as he landed B.J. Foster. Who is he? What's he all about? And we'll hear what his high school coach has to say about B.J. Foster, the latest commitment for Tom Herman. It's fairly high praise. Also continue to talk about the Golden State Warriors conversation and the NBA Finals. Plenty to do. Good times on a Tuesday. Warm and muggy, 91 today. On 104.9 on AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Mornings with Bucky and Aaron.
B&E on the Horn, glad you're with us. This says Texas baseball team overachieved this year. There aren't any big league hitters on this team. Played hard, cleaned up their defense, future bright with that coaching staff. I tend to agree with that.
I would agree.
I think that's kind of a well-succinct way to say it. Also, this says... How about this? 2 years ago today, American Pharoah won the Belmont Stakes to complete the Triple Crown.
Big son of a gun coming down the stretch at the Belmont.
For Bucky Godbolt.
Yes, indeed.
This one says, thanks Skip Johnson for that deep pitching staff. Pierce better have some big hitters coming because his coaching style is different. Yeah, well, I mean, Skip Johnson did a great job of loading that pitching staff with arms, and they were coached better this year on the defensive end, which led to more wins. They just didn't match up against the best teams. I mean, the numbers are there. Against the teams they were as good as or even to or better than, they beat. And they won at about a 70% clip against teams that were in the top 10 in the country and hosted regionals this weekend. They went 2-11 and weren't on par. But 8 of those 11 losses were by one run. So they weren't dominated by those teams. But the texter's point about they didn't have any big-time hitters, that shows up against good pitching. Why are those teams in the top 10? They can pitch. They have high-level pitching staffs, and Long Beach State was able to show that. Long Beach State was playing their fifth game in 4 days.
I know.
They were still throwing quality arms at Texas. Fair points all, for sure.
It's going to be interesting for Coach Herman and how he's going to play these safeties, because he's got a caboodle of safeties coming to Texas. When you got four or five guys, and it's they're all talented, they're all really, really good safeties, what do you do?
Well, I mean, it's a good problem to have, first and foremost. When you start you start stacking great athletes, it's something that...
They decide to come.
Yeah, Gary Patterson's done that at TCU, where he's just looking for great athletes, right? And then they'll find a position for
him. Speaking of Jopa, that's what he used to do. At linebackers.
Give me those guys that look the part. They're the hardest working guy on the team. Mm-hmm. They're tough. And they're great athletes, by the way. And then we'll find a position.
God, you're talking about competition at a spot.
Well, and they may not all end up as safeties. I mean, you mentioned that the kid Caden Stearns out of Cibolo, he could probably spin to corner at 6'1", and he's got the athleticism.
He's got all that.
He's a great athlete and a wide receiver as well. You've got to But this one's a big one. B.J. Foster is the latest commitment. We told you he was going to commit yesterday, and the heavy lean was Texas. He did commit to Texas, and he is staying home. He put out a little a nice written note, and then he tweeted it out. He says it has begun. But his high school coach is interesting. At Angleton, Ryan Rourke said he's one of the top five athletes I've coached in the last 28 years. He's one of those kids with a high football IQ. His natural instinct and athletic ability are up there with any player I've coached, and the only ones I'd say are close over the last three decades are in the NFL. So that'd be referring to the likes of Quentin Jammer and Quandre Diggs.
And I trust that Tom Herman is going to put the best players on the field. I mean, if he's got really good players, he's not going to stockpile position. He's going to get them on to win football games
sure.
as quick as he can. And they may come in as safeties and end up as corners. They may come in as safeties, end up as linebackers. The one guy who's 6'4", 200, yeah, whatever. That guy can be 225.
Overshown.
In a year.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And he's 18. I mean, he's 6'4". That guy can be a 225-pound outside linebacker.
Yes.
With safety skills. Right now, he's looking at it as a safety. That's what I'm saying. Bring in players of that caliber, and then they'll grow to their natural position as their bodies, you know, as they grow into their bodies, they get mm-hmm. into the strength and conditioning program. So, again, this is the number one. I said in the update, but remember, Longhorns didn't have a player in the top 10 in the state of Texas last February. First time that's happened.
Everybody was freaking out.
Well, they should. I mean, the 10 best players, none of them come to Texas. And all of them went out of state, by the way. None of them stayed in the Lone Star State. That also changes with a kid like B.J. Foster, who will be ranked by all the services
like
in the
I
top
said,
five the, players.
Coach Herman, I mean, my word for him is he's a gritty dude, man. He's gritty. You know, he's going to battle. He's going to battle in all phases of the coaching game. I don't care if it's special teams, head games with players. He's just a gritty guy. He's gonna get the best out of his football players. He's going to get the best out of his staff. And I think he's going to get the best out of his administration at Texas.
Well, so far, 6 months in, hadn't coached a game. Early response has been good and positive for that. But this guy says, look at how LSU handles their safeties and corners. Well, look at what Ohio State does with Urban Meyer. Remember, Urban Meyer's got these big, rangy corners and safeties. Malik Hooker this year. These guys are all getting drafted
safeties
in the
like
first
linebackers.
Round. Corners like linebackers.
Yeah.
Big corners who end up getting drafted in the first round. I mean, over and over again. Great athletes that come in and help cover and play the run. I mean, that's the kind of players. Now they got to add some defensive line. There's no doubt about that.
They have to.
And that's, you know, because in this class where you have the number one running back in the state and Keontae Ingram, you've got two quarterbacks who Tom Herman really, really has a high grade on and likes a lot, the kid out of Oklahoma and the one out of California. Now you've got the top couple of safeties in the class and great athletes in those two guys. Because think about safeties in the state of Texas right now. I mean, what are they? I mean, they're playing deep safety. It's a passing state. So you got to be back there, be rangy, be athletic, be able to close on balls, and then you have to be able to tackle in space,
and you have to make interceptions. When the time to make an interception
right.
is there, you have to make the interception.
Right. But you got to be able to cover those tunnel screens, the quick game, the long game. Safeties are, this day and age, it's happening even in the NFL, where guys like Earl Thomas is as valuable as Ray Lewis used to be.
Because he can tackle.
Well, yeah, because he can cover people in the pass game. He can cover tight ends, but then they can come up and run support, play the quick game. I mean, those players are hugely valuable in college football these days, and certainly in high school football as well.
Well, what will be highly disappointing to me is you know, we were all excited last year about when Charlie recruited all those, like, 5, 6, 7 big guys, and we thought, man, this is going to be something special. He's got some real bulk in here. These guys have so far not turned out to be very much. And can Tom Herman flip those guys, or it is what it is?
Well, two have already left.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But there's still four, and you got to get the most out of those guys for sure.
Because they're not going to change.
No. I mean, they need some
people. You can't trade those guys.
All right. B&E on the horns. So there you go. Tom Herman, commitment number 12. We mentioned yesterday that Corby Meekins, one of the assistant coaches, the tight ends coach, tweeted out that teasing that there might be a 13th coming today. So we'll keep our eye on the wire there for the Longhorns.
I don't even know who the best defensive linemen in this state are. We've seen so many skill guys that Tom Herman's getting. I don't even have a list. I have to ask Jeff Catchem.
Catch will get it for you.
Maybe Catch can give it to me.
Lone Star recruiting ranking.
Maybe Catch can give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me this afternoon. Give me some beef. Where's the beef?
Give it to me.
Yeah, show me
Jeff
the beef.
Jeff coming up at 1 o'clock today. How about this, though? Real quick, switching gears. We talk some basketball. It bears mentioning here in the 7 o'clock hour, before we get to Hot or Not, that the Houston Astros are the third team in the last three decades to win 42 of their first 58 games, right? 42 of their first 58. They're 14 clear in the West. They've won 11 straight, okay? The only other teams to do that were the 2001 Seattle Mariners, who ended up with 116 regular season wins, and your 1998 New York Yankees, who ended up with 114 regular season wins. The Astros right now, Buck, are on pace for 117 regular season wins. That's the rarefied era in which they're playing. Your Yankees in 98 had Posada behind the plate and Tino Martinez, Chuck Knobloch, Derek Jeter,
Bernie
Williams, Paul O'Neill, and Daryl Strawberry at the DH. Tim Raines, the Hall of Famer, was a part of that team with guys like Chili Davis, and Joe Girardi was the catcher, along with Posada.
He should just stay the catcher now. He should go back
manager.
To catching.
How about the pitching staff? Remember El Duque?
Oh, Duque,
David
yes.
Wells, David Cohn, Hideki Arabu.
The Toad.
The Toad.
Yeah, the Toad.
And Andy Pettit, of course, had 33 starts in that
season.
Yeah,
but the only reason he did that was because he wanted to get back to his team.
That's right. Well, he was your best
PEDs,
pitcher that year.
He had to take those PEDs to get back to his team.
Hey, he's a good dude.
How about that pitching staff? When when Arabu is your fifth guy.
David Cohn.
David
Aruba. Aruba.
Just say Toad, Harry. Just call him the Toad.
I know, yeah, they had Jeff Nelson and Mike Stanton setting it up for Mariano Rivera, so the bullpen was pretty stacked. Also, the 0-1 Mariners, that team did not include Ken Griffey Jr. Keep that in mind. He had already bolted for Cincinnati. That team was headlined by the Hall of Fame DH, Edgar Martinez. He was the core of that in the hitting side of things. But they had
John Olerud ever make it to the... To the Hall of Fame, no.
John Olerud was the first baseman on that team.
Because he could hit.
Ichiro, of course, setting the table and leading off and batting, 250-some hits. Mike Cameron was a great Gold Glove outfielder for them that year.
One of the Boone brothers was there. Booney.
Yeah, Brett Boone. They had the Boonster. But, yes, so, and that team didn't win the championship. And the reason they didn't is when you look at their pitching staff, it was Freddie Garcia, Aaron Seeley,
yeah.
Jamie Moyer, Paul Abbott. That's why they didn't win the championship. Because their pitching wasn't championship caliber when it got... The Yankees won the championship because they had Andy Pettit and El Duque and David Cohn. And Aruba.
Aruba. Aruba. The Toad.
And
Aruba. Aruba is a pitcher for the Yankees.
That's right. Well, so when you're... And this is the point to the Astros, right? If you're going to win the championship, you can win a lot of games, but when you get to the postseason, can you match up with the Dodgers and the Nationals and the Indians? And the Red Sox potentially, or the Yankees when it matters, does Keuchel, McCullers, and whoever else stack up? That looks a lot more like the Mariners' rotation than it does the Yankees' rotation, which is why I think you'll see the Astros get aggressive and try to acquire another starting pitcher to go with Keuchel and McCullers. And I think it's going to be a high-end guy you heard of a few times, all-star caliber pitcher.
It ain't going to be Aruba.
It won't be Aruba.
Uba.
I don't think.
Ububa.
Is Hideki Arabu alive?
Wait a minute.
I'm dead or alive?
Wait a minute. I'm going to say dead. I think the Toad had a heart attack.
Hold on. I got to look that up.
I think the Toad had a heart attack.
He is. 2011.
Heart attack?
Let me look.
He had a big old body. He was a big one.
A suicide.
What?
Ooh, so we probably shouldn't be playing Aruba.
Well, maybe we shouldn't
Harry
be playing
Carey,
Aruba.
That's kind of rude.
Well, we're talking about Aruba, not Aruba. Talking about a different guy, aren't we?
Well, Harry Carey didn't know what he was doing at that point.
By that time.
Yeah, he's dead. Dang. Rest in peace, Aruba.
Sorry, Aruba.
So that's Aruba. the rarefied air Houston is playing in right now through 58 games. They're going to win over 100 games the way that this team is built. But if they want to win the championship, they need to add probably another reliever and someone in the bullpen. But I will say this. They brought up a guy last night. The Astros, this is crazy. They bring up this guy from AAA, Raymond Gudouin. No one's ever heard of him. But all he did was in a big spot against the Royals last night, hitting 96 on the outside corner from the left side. This is a developed player by the Astros from their system. And this guy's 25 years old. He shows up and looked unbelievable. So you're thinking, man, where are they getting all these arms? They've got some talent coming. But I think they'll add a veteran reliever, and I think they'll add another ace-caliber-type pitcher to go with this rotation, because that's what it's going to take to win the championship, not just win a bunch of games.
Well, yeah, but you know you can't help it. Sometimes your team is so good. It was the same thing with Seattle. It wasn't like they were trying. They just went out and played baseball and hammered teams that year.
Oh, the Yankees were so good. I mean, that roster, yeah. When you go through it, I mean, that team was a dynasty. They won 4 championships.
Like you said, everybody can beat you. There was one night where somebody else will beat you.
That's right. That's right. And that's what that Yankees line. The Astros lineup resembles that Yankee lineup,
right,
where they've got guys out that can carry you for a stretch and can hit the big hit in big spots. Yankees certainly had that. Jeter was obviously the leader and the captain of those teams, even at a young age. But, yeah, Paul O'Neill could have big hits and big knocks, and Daryl Strawberry could carry you for a stretch when he would heat up, and they were just terrific. Tino Martinez, a very good player at first base. That Knobloch guy.
Chuck Knobloch.
Forgot how to throw for a little while there.
Yeah, he hurt him. Yeah, he was a little off there. Says David Pierce got out-coached last night. You know what? David Pierce's team doesn't do a lot of bunting, and I'm fine with that, man. They get up there, and they swing the bat. Although last night, Clemens and those guys had that bat on their shoulders and wouldn't take it off their shoulder. For 2 nights in a row, they just kind of held.
Yeah, those pitches were about 4 inches off the plate. I mean, I get that. You gotta adjust.
But you know they're going to do it.
I know. You got to adjust. You got to
swing,
adjust.
Right?
But my goodness, those weren't even close to strikes. All you can do with those are foul them off or just slam it into the ground to
and
the third baseman.
And they had a lot of foul tips last night, too.
Yep. Yeah. We'll come back. B&E on the horn. There you go. Good stuff on a Tuesday. We'll hit it around with Hot or Not coming up. BK will lead us through that. Reset Your Headlines coming up. If you didn't stay up late to see it, Texas, the season came to an end. Get you all the details, plus another big-time commitment for the Longhorns. It's all coming, part of a Tuesday on the Horn, 104.9 on AM 1260, on 101.9 FM, also on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
What's hot? And what's not?
All right, a couple things hot. Including Bucky wearing a t-shirt today that actually fits, which is good. It's good to see. Looking good. Also hot
no
today
nipples
is...
Showing. No nipples.
I can't see your nipples.
Okay,
excited
cool.
About that. Also excited about your lunch with the three ladies today at Joe Bell.
Yes, that's going to be absolutely fantastic. That's just a...
can't wait for the full report on
that
deal.
That's just a start. That's just a start of things I'm going to do for the ladies because we're going to be nominated next year, okay? We're going to be nominated. We don't necessarily have to win. We're like
women in media.
We're like the kids. If we get a ribbon where we're nominated, that's good. That's like a victory for us.
At least it's a pat on the back. It's something we've been doing this
yeah.
A long time.
Yes.
At least a recognition. Hey, yes. Speaking of another thing that's hot, how about this? Guy texted in. We're talking about the Astros start, comparing it to the 01 Mariners and the 98 Yankees. Someone texted in Jay Buhner. Jay Buhner was a big home run hitter on that team. And when I hear the name Jay Buhner, I can only think of one thing, and that, of course, is the classic Seinfeld episode. Remember when George Steinbrenner shows up at Seinfeld at the Costanza's house to inform them that George is dead? They think he's dead. They can't find him.
Oh, no, I did not see that one. I've never seen that one.
Oh, here we go. This is so George Steinbrenner, the guy playing George Steinbrenner,
yes,
is sitting in their house trying to tell them that he's gone.
I can't believe it. He was so young. How could this have happened?
Well, he'd been logging some pretty heavy hours. First one in the morning, last one to leave at night. That kid was a human dynamo.
Are you sure you're talking about George?
You are, Mr. and Mrs. Costanza.
What the hell did you trade Jay Buhner for? He had 30 home runs and over 100 RBIs last year. He's got a rocket for an arm. You don't know what the hell you're doing.
Well, Buhner was a good prospect, no question about it. But my baseball people love Ken Phelps' bat. They kept saying, Ken Phelps, Ken Phelps.
Oh, my favorite all time. Telling him your kid's dead. What the hell did you trade Jay Buhner? You don't know what you're doing.
Oh, my goodness.
Classic.
That one in Del Boca Vista is the best.
Del Boca Vista. Jay Buhner. He's got a rocket for an arm. All right, BK, what you got for Hot or Not?
All right, guys. Today is, I don't know what this means, but it is National Gardening Exercise Day.
Hello.
You got any plans out there, Buck?
Gardening and exercise?
Gardening exercise. Not two separate things. It's one deal.
Well, that's when you're moving up and down in the garden. And you know what I mean. Maybe you don't know what I mean. When you're on your knees and you're doing gardening and you're weeding and pulling the weeds up and out of the garden. I need to weed my garden right now. That's exercise within itself.
Or, you know, some
this
of the best workouts I've ever gotten are with the hoe. Like a banging the hoe?
Yes.
I mean,
you tell me
things.
Does that hurt your back?
Shoulders?
Does your back feel that?
Yeah.
You feel that for days, man. Every time you bang those hoe.
Yeah, you bang that hoe, it's a good thing. But I got to just...
Fence post digger.
Yeah, but do not...
That'll work you out.
This is not the good time of the year to do naked gardening because
too
you
hot.
Will, ugh. You're talking
sweat.
About sweat in places. You know what I mean? No, it's not good.
All
not
right,
good
guys.
At all.
All right, there you go. So last night, the Women's College World Series. Y'all catch any of this? 17-inning thriller. OU takes game one.
I caught a piece of it. I got to – it didn't end as late as the Texas baseball game. But
it started at like seven.
I know, 17 innings.
Yeah, Oklahoma won, right?
They did.
Have you not watched any of this, E?
No.
Well, they have a top 10 women's plays of the day. I mean, you didn't
no.
You haven't watched any softball at all?
I was watching the Astros last night.
Oklahoma national defending champs, are they not in women's softball?
Well, the last four champions have been Oklahoma, Florida, Florida, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So it's those two programs have dominated women's softball.
Them and UConn and women's basketball. That's exciting stuff.
I watch women's softball this time of the year. Because there's nothing else on.
This is about the time we'll get the text that says, fire Connie Clark.
When does that come in? Yeah.
Same
Where's
dude
Kat
every day.
Is Kat
Same
coming guy. To coach?
Oh, yeah. Fire Connie Clark, hire Kat Osterman.
Get her now before it's too late.
My favorite,
I always get
Costanza
that
one.
Get her
voice.
Now.
What the hell are they doing with Connie Clark?
How
many people in our audience know that Connie Clark is the softball coach in Texas? Probably like 1%. One half of 1%.
This guy does.
Same amount that's on the
Fire
tollway.
Fire Connie Clark.
Same way as the ones that are on the tollway driving.
Go ahead. What else, BK?
All right, guys. Yesterday, the Seattle Seahawks signed Austin Davis over Colin Kaepernick. Of course, last week they brought in Colin Kaepernick for a workout. There were a lot of rumors out there that he might sign to be Russell Wilson's backup up there with Pete Carroll in Seattle. They opt for Austin Davis out of Southern Miss, who is 3-7 in his career with 13 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. They take him over Colin Kaepernick, who has been to a Super Bowl before and had 72 career touchdowns to only 30 picks. Guys, hot or not, Colin Kaepernick's going to land a job at some point before the season begins.
Let me tell you something. That whole deal with him taking a knee for the national anthem was so toxic last year. And if you don't think that's affected his ability to get a job, and I know we always like to say, well, if he's a good quarterback, he'll get a job. That deal he did last year at that time was very toxic. And I think this has a lot more than you think to do with than his ability to play the position, because you can get a job as a backup quarterback or a third string quarterback in the NFL. You're going to tell me this guy can't find a job, and Larry David got a job
Austin
over him?
Davis. Well, look,
whatever.
There are a lot of owners that would, it's radioactive. They wouldn't even bring him in. Why? The 32 starters, whether people agree with it or not, are set. Teams are looking for backups, and teams are looking for guys who, as we've talked about, here's what this tells me, and this is just my opinion. I wasn't in the meetings, but he didn't say the right things. Seattle was ready to sign the guy. Seattle was willing to, and we've talked about Pete Carroll being kind of an outside-the-box coach. Seattle's a progressive, liberal city, would have embraced him. You know, he'd have been supported on that in that locker room and on that team. But in his mind, he still thinks he's a starting quarterback. In his mind, he still thinks, hey, I'm that guy that took the 49ers to the Super Bowl. But that's not what teams are looking for in a backup. That's not what they want.
You got to tell them that, don't you?
Well, he got brought in for a tryout and a job interview. Clearly, the job interview didn't go very well.
Didn't say the right thing.
Well, that's what I would take from it. If they were ready to pull the trigger and just wanted to see him throw and see what kind of shape he was in, and then sit down and talk with him.
You can say, yeah, I'm ready to be a backup, and then go in there and take the starting job if you're good enough.
Well, but that's not what teams are looking for when they're looking for their backup quarterback. They want a backup quarterback who accepts that that's exactly what his role is. Be prepared each week to go in a pinch. Prepare like the starter, but...
Mm-hmm.
You know, you only get
but
about
don't act like the starter.
Yeah, prepare like the starter, but don't act like the starter. And you only get 5 or 10% of the reps during practice to actually prepare like a starter.
Oh, no, if you go in there bitching and moaning like I need to get half the
reps.
And
I don't know that he did that. Or yeah. Maybe whatever, that interview didn't go well. That's what that tells me. And you can fill in the blanks of what the reasons for it.
Yeah.
All right, B&E on the horn, we'll take your thoughts. Because here's the headline. Seahawks sign Austin Davis. The Colin Kaepernick supporters are furious. Furious out there, I tell you. All right, we'll pick that up with our headlines coming up. More to go on a Tuesday. Glad you're with us on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260. Streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.